You are listening to the Political Periscope, a weekly podcast brought to you by Radio WNET. Interviews on international politics, security, geopolitics, economy, and more. Every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Today's guest of the Political Periscope is Ruslan Dynchenko, one of the co-founders of the Stop Fake initiative.
Political Periscope.
24th of February this year was the day of Russian invasion, but the war hasn't started on this day. The war has been going on for years, and war in many aspects, also info war.
That's true. And we do not separate the on-the-ground war, which actually started on the 24th of February this year, I mean full-scale invasion, and the information war. And we, as a Stop Fake, as a project that monitors Russian media, we've been observing Russian information war. It's part of the hybrid war against Ukraine, and not just against Ukraine, but the whole world and the European Union, for many, many years. Actually, we started our activities, our Stop Fake activities, in 2014, in March of 2014, when Russian efforts to seize parts of Ukraine, like Crimea, Donbass, were launched by the Russian government. And we can tell that monitoring, basically watching Russian television, just watching Russian television, you can see what's on the mind of Putin's mind, what really Kremlin wants, because it's Russian television. It's, for me, it looks like a reflection of Putin's mind. So very often you can predict the future, you can predict what's going to happen. And the war, information war against Ukraine, started long before 2014. Russian media started to brainwash Ukrainians and their own citizens many, many years before that date. And they still do. We are persuaded and we are absolutely sure that Russia uses its media as an extension of its foreign policy. So it's the same weapon as the Russian army, as the Russian cyber army, and they use all these efforts against their enemies in different ways.
And in this hybrid war, not only Ukraine is a side, also Europe, also Poland. But there is this maybe dualism in Russian propaganda. What's the difference between Russian propaganda, which is targeted towards its own citizens, and Russian propaganda, which is targeted outside?
Of course, Russian propaganda works not just with Ukrainians. And their first target is their own population. And they bombard their own population with different sets of messages. First of all, they created the ecosystem. So Russian population, they are kind of in the information bubble. No one can reach Russians without permission of Kremlin. Their television is under total control of Kremlin. Electronic media and all media in Russia, almost all media in Russia, who has at least a little bit of influence, a little bit of the audience, they're all under control of Russian government and Russian proxies. And first of all, they, when they need it in 2014, they created a huge number of stories to make Ukrainians look like enemies, like Nazis, like fascists, who are who want to kill Russian speaking population, who want to eliminate Russian speaking population in Ukraine. In Ukraine, from 2014, they wanted to persuade people that Russia and Ukraine are close friends, and we need to have the joint future, joint economy, joint currency, because it's in our interest, in interest of Ukrainians and in interest of Russians. There is no need for Ukrainians to have any ties with the European Union. Of course, with NATO membership is absolutely not acceptable. So this is the narratives that they try to push here in Ukraine. Of course, in European countries, the set of these narratives, it's a little bit different, and it's different from country to country. It's in Poland, it might be different from ones in Serbia or in Bulgaria. And they use very, very specific sets of narratives for each country, for each market. In Latin America, they use anti-American, anti-United States narratives. In the European Union, they can use anti-migration narratives. So they are pretty smart, and I would like that's why they were effective. But again, we do our best, and not just our organization, but many organizations who try to resist Russian disinformation campaigns and propaganda. We would like to make these efforts of Russia to be not so effective. We want to, this weapon they created and they invested billions of dollars will not be as effective as they expect.
You said that Russians live in information bubble, that the Russian propaganda created this bubble. However, thanks to the internet, we have unlimited access to information. And can we justify the ignorance of population of the society in 21st century?
Well, still, it's very easy for most of Russian citizens, of Russian people, just turn on TV and watch and consume information from Russian TV federal networks. And you need to do some efforts to get some other sources of information. You need to have some kind of VPNs. Of course, Facebook is banned now in Russia. And so they have limited access to sources of information. And those who would like to get this information, they need to do some things to get this access. But it's obvious for us that most of Russians they get information either from Kremlin-controlled TV networks or from Kremlin-controlled online media.
So now, question, because there is this ongoing debate, should we look or are there any good Russians? And according to what you're saying, they seem to be victims of the regime. And that's one of the narratives which is widely spread, that they are, in fact, victims of Putin. And they are not responsible for his actions, for the war, for example.
I would say that they are both victims, and they active members of these crimes that Russia commits in Ukraine. Because it's still, there is an option for most of them to get access to fair and truthful information. They just prefer to stay uninformed or pretend they don't care or pretend they trust Russian propaganda. So I think it's a kind of a two-way process. Of course, Kremlin exploits this wish of Russian population to restore the Russian Empire, to restore the Soviet Union. So that's one of the reasons why Russian propaganda that target Russians is so effective, because they use this wish of Russians to restore these old good times, that they in their understanding, That's why it's so effective.
I can understand, and I think it's understandable in some way that people in Russia believe their propaganda. They are really soaked in it, and it requires effort to not believe it. However, many people in Europe, in the United States, they also follow RT or Sputnik, and they believe Russian propaganda. They don't believe mainstream media. Why?
It might be different reasons. Of course, there are a lot of people who tend to believe even the most incredible stories about Bill Gates, George Soros, who control this COVID epidemic, or created this COVID. So very often, as I said, Russian propaganda uses the weaknesses of societies in the European countries, in the United States, and the problems that, of course, exist to target with this very, very specific and very well-crafted sets of messages. So, again, that's why they have a very significant audiences in different countries that have not limited access of their people to the information. So people in Poland or people in Bulgaria or Serbia, of course, they have a very wide range of access to different sources of information, but they choose these specific ones. I mean, Russian sources or Russian-supported sources.
Yes, but that's the thing I cannot really understand. Why people choose Russian sources or Russian-supported sources? Why they choose sources that are even like hostile against their own countries?
Again, there are problems in European countries. Of course, now it's inflation, high energy prices. People are not satisfied with all these topics. So these Russian media, they provide their own explanation of the reason why these problems exist. And some people tend to believe it. Because not all the people have the same level of critical thinking, and some people when they see a very easy solution for some sophisticated problems, they think, oh, it's so easy, let's have a deal with Russia and all our problems will be solved the same moment. And unfortunately not, or fortunately not. So it's, propaganda is an effective tool. And Russians use this tool pretty much effective. That's why it works. That's why the TV networks and sources of information they created or support in European countries or other countries, they have a significant audience who tend to believe what they saw on Russian television.
You said propaganda is an effective tool. but there are tools to fight it. How to fight propaganda, how to fight disinformation.
Yeah, of course, there is no universal solution, of course, for each country, because there are different conditions in Ukraine, in Poland, in Serbia, Bulgaria, France, and Germany. But, well, we do fact-checking. So we try to ruin reputation of Russian media as a reliable source of information. For almost 9 years we are in this business, I think we made Russian disinformation and propaganda machine look ugly, look stupid and funny. So now, even if Russian TV networks suddenly decide to tell truth and nothing by the truth, no one will trust them. Because in Ukraine, for example, Russian media is just another word for lies, deception, disinformation. So, but we of course understand that fact checking is not enough to fight propaganda. Media literacy. Of course, sometimes limiting access to these harmful TV networks is a very good solution. Let me remind you that in 2014 and 2015, Ukraine decided to ban all Russian TV networks and all Russian social platforms like ВКонтакте, Одноклассники, and many other services. Because, well, it was, it's, well, we can compare it with a disease. You need to isolate the person to save his life. So I think that is what happened in Ukraine when we banned Russian television and Russian social platforms. So sometimes these very strict measures are needed. Maybe not in all European countries, but I think in some European countries, it might be effective. For example, some social platforms like Facebook, like YouTube, they use different approaches of how they can resist of Russian disinformation. Facebook, for example, they hired independent fact checkers who mark disinformation. So people who were exposed to disinformation, not just Russian, but different kind of disinformation, they will be informed that what you just read is not true. And please read this article, which explained what really happened. So I think it might be a very effective way to inform people about disinformation, about real facts. Some platforms like YouTube, they just completely eliminate the channels that produce and disseminate harmful disinformation. I think it's another way to resist, to isolate our people from these harmful threats.
I think it's a good moment to present to our listeners a bit the StopFake initiative.
Well, we are a very small team. We have around 10 fact checkers, and on a daily basis, we watch Russian television, Russian social platforms and messengers, and we detect potentially harmful disinformation. When we can prove that this is not true, and present our readers persuasive evidence, we write an explanation article. And as I said, based on our cooperation with Facebook, based on our findings, they mark disinformation on their platforms. We do a lot of things in media literacy. We helped our Ministry of Education to create a media literacy classes in our schools. We do a lot of trainings for different type of audiences, for students, for university professors, for diplomats and intelligence people. So for many, many people. So we help them to detect and basically not be influenced by disinformation. And of course, all this evidence, we have collected more than 50,000 pieces of evidence. We recently transferred to Ukrainian police, who investigates the harmful activities of Russian media. So basically, we collected this huge collection, and we hope that this collection will be an evidence, not just in the judicial prosecution of those involved in these activities in Ukraine, but also international courts will. So we will see the international courts punish these people, because we think it might be and should be a very important lesson for the future generations of journalists not to repeat this pattern, not to use media as a weapon, but use it as it isn't intended to be, as a medium to inform people, to make our lives better, but not to fuel conflicts and fuel wars.
In Ukraine, the situation is quite clear. You're in the state of war. You're protecting yourself from Russia. So law enforcement, using law enforcement against disinformation seems quite appropriate. However, in Europe, in most democratic states in the world, there is always this fear that the line between fighting disinformation and limiting the freedom of speech is very easy to be crossed. So how to manage it? What can we do and what shouldn't we do? When are we abusing the law? When are we already limiting the freedom of speech? And when are we only fighting disinformation?
You are absolutely right that there is a huge temptation of different players can use propaganda and disinformation as a tool in order to reach their own goals, to defeat opposition or to get power. And what I would tell you that, again, there is no universal solution for, and each country should decide what they can do in order to protect their countries from being influenced by any types of propaganda, either internal or external. And the same time to limit the freedom of information, freedom of press. So that the my answer would be just not ignore this problem, because the propaganda might work. It might not be visible all the time, and you think that it does not exist in your country, or it is not a potential harm in your country. But just one day you can wake up in the morning and see that people on the street with machine guns are killing each other because someone persuaded them to hate each other because of different language they speak, different churches they go, or the different race they belong. So again, do not ignore this problem and try to find a unique solution for each country, for each market. And of course, there are some efforts that together the European countries, the European Union might do. It will be very effective, and it will be even more effective if every country will do something by themselves.
Mentioned it in your other answers to my questions, but let's summarize. How did the war change the attitude of society in Ukraine towards the Russian propaganda? How did it influence the position of society and maybe their knowledge about it?
Well, of course, the war changed a lot. And I think that in Ukraine now, almost no citizens who trust Russian media and who trust Putin and Kremlin. No illusions about Russian intention to destroy our country, to destroy our sovereignty and independence. It changed everything. And 2 or 3 years ago, pro-Russian propaganda still existed, and it might influence a certain number of Ukrainians, certain number of people. Now, there is no pro-Russian propaganda targets Ukrainians. They targeted Ukrainians with absolutely different sets of messages, that our political elites, they betrayed Ukrainians, that they want to make our society weaker, our fight against Russia weaker. They try to fuel conflicts between our president and our military people, military commander, between opposition and our government, but no pro-Russian propaganda anymore. So they just destroyed. I would say that almost all Ukrainians will hate Russia, Kremlin, and everything connected to Russia for many, many years, if not generations.
To end, what can everyone in their daily life do to protect themselves from propaganda and disinformation?
It's a good question. And of course, we understand that it's impossible that every single citizen becomes a fact checker. You cannot fact check everything you consume, everything you see on TV or hear on the radio. So for me, what I recommend to regular people, to select the reliable sources of information and to be critical all the time consuming information. Like with restaurant. If you go to the restaurant and the restaurant served you food that poisoned you, there is no chance you go to this restaurant another time, right? So the same with the sources of information. If someone lied to you from a Telegram channel or a certain website and not corrected this mistake, not apologized, so just forget about this source of information. Again, choosing this source of information is number one recommendation for regular citizens. And do not like or share information you see on social platforms when you are not exactly sure that this is true and this is a reliable source of information. So this is another recommendation. So in this case, you will not help those who produce disinformation to disseminate it, because very often these players who produce disinformation, they need some action from the regular citizens. So they produce this disinformation and they expect that people start to share it, to send each other in messengers. That's why this information is exposed to a very large number of people. Do not do it. This is another recommendation. And of course, time by time, go to our website, stopfake.org, and read what we have already debunked, what is not true. We have a special section on our website with tools where we explain how regular citizens, regular people can be fact checkers by themselves. And we have a lot of recommendation on how consume information and how to not to allow anyone to brainwash you and to use you as a tool to disseminate disinformation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This was the Political Periscope. The podcast is released every Thursday at 7 p.m.